David said that it's really great to and a privilege for us to have people from different places, different tribes and tongues. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 5 that there are going to be people from all over the world singing praises to God around his throne. People from all over the world, every tongue, every tribe, every nation, every people group. And I started a list this morning of people who are, or some of the nations that we have represented here today. And as I call out the nation, would you just raise your hand, keep it up for just a minute so people can look around? Okay. I met my first person ever from Burundi today, all right? Burundi's in Africa, for those of you that are geographically challenged. Pakistan, right here, Pakistan, okay? Kenya, Nigeria, okay? Very good, thank you. India, over here, China, did she go upstairs? Oh, China, over here, all right, Costa Rica, raise your hand, Costa Rica, very good. By the way, in case you missed it somehow, the special music was sung in Japanese and Spanish and English, okay? And then what else we got here? I said India, okay. Ethiopia, there we go, very good. Ethiopia right over here. Cuba, Bahamas, okay. That's the Caribbean part. And who am I leaving out? Germany right here, okay. And who have I missed? Gap Creek Road. All the hillbillies from Gap Creek Road. I love that. Thank you, Jim. And then there's some of you who have lived and served in other countries, like the United Arab Emirates. Thank you, United Arab Emirates. How many countries in Africa have you guys served in? Name them. Okay, very good. Thank you. We have Joe and Elaine. Joe and Elaine Hopkins served in Brazil, and were you born in Brazil, Jess? No, but you were in Brazil for a long time. Your parents served there. And then Philippines, we got over here and over here. People served for many years in the Philippines. Anybody else that I'm missing? Anybody else? Oh, yeah. You guys were in a bunch of countries. Name some of them. Very good. All right. Thank you. Anybody else I'm missing? You've been to Russia. Yeah. Russia. Okay. And Warren? Okay. Australia and Iran. All right. Yeah. Some of us have been to Honduras several times. All right. Anybody else I'm missing? Katie from our church is serving in Honduras. We could start naming missionaries and we'd be all over the world, right? So, okay. So it's just exciting to get a little slice, a little preview of Revelation chapter 5, where we're worshiping around the throne for from people from every nation and every tongue and every tribe and people group. And it's I hope you sense how privileged we are here in East Tennessee. You know, we're not in a big city where that kind of comes natural, like New York or LA or Chicago or other cities. In Milwaukee, when I lived near Milwaukee, we had a big representation from the Hmong and the Hmong tribe. People had come over after the Vietnam War, and I get to go to a Vietnamese birthday party this afternoon, right? Isn't that great? Warren's going to be there with me. I'm getting all these mental blanks this morning on people's names, but that's just a great thing. And you know, before the gospel came, if you look at with me in Colossians chapter 1, before the gospel came, the Colossians were in the same boat as many other people all over the world. They were, as Paul says in Ephesians, without hope and without God in this world. That is still the truth for many people right here in East Tennessee and all over the world. They are still without hope and without God in the world. But Paul says, beginning in chapter 1, verse 4, or let's start in verse 3, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world. We'll stop there. Here's a group of people right in the what we would call the Middle East today, Colossae. Paul says, even though I haven't met you, we don't stop praying for you since we heard of how you responded to the gospel, the good news, that Jesus saves sinners like us and like people in all these countries that we have talked about. Jesus loves and saves sinners through his death on the cross and his resurrection. We have eternal life. And so he speaks about faith and hope and love. That's what people want. Faith. They want to have a hope that there's a secure future. And they want to be loved. So Paul writes to this group of people and he explains to them exactly who Jesus is and how he's the creator and how he's the redeemer and how he has paid for their sins and that they don't need anything else but Jesus. We sung about that this morning, didn't we? Christ is my all in all. He's my all in all. He's my all in all. That's not just a nice little ditty. That's straight out of Colossians chapter 3. Verse 11, where we're going to start today. Colossians 3:11. Christ is all in all and in all. You see that? In verse 11, we left off in verse 10 last week, and I told you to try to figure out how verse 11 fits into the whole thing, because what we've been talking about in chapter 3 is how does the new Christian live? Hey, we've gone from the doctrinal part of Colossians into the practical, the how shall we then live part of Colossians, and we found verses 1 through 8 speak of the personal relationship of the Christian to his God. Verses 9 through 17 is the Christian's relationship to the church. How do we behave toward one another? What are the qualities in our lives that make for peace and unity and love? And then verses 18 through 21, which we haven't gotten to yet, we'll talk about the new Christian and the family life and his family life. And then after that comes the new Christian and work in verses 3:23 through 4:1. And finally, semi-finally, verses chapter 4, verse 2 through 6, the new Christian's relationship to outsiders. How do we act toward those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ yet? And then there's the final goodbyes and the closing of the letter. But right now, we're still in the middle of how do Christians behave within the church, okay? And we've talked about how some things, we've talked about the old man and the new man. The old man is who we were before we came to Christ. And there's some parts of that that we need to get rid of, that we need to kill, okay? And then there's some things that we replace that with. And that's what we get into today. But before we get into those specifics, we have verse 11. Here, okay, after he's said, here's some of the things you got to get rid of in your life. And there were things like sexual immorality and wrath and anger and lying and so on and so forth. He says, take off your old clothes, put on the new clothes. Okay? That take off and put on thing. You need a new closet with new clothes, which is being renewed, according to verse 10, in knowledge after the image of its creator. So what is the new Christian going to look like? Well, he's going to be made into the image of our Creator. And he identified our Creator earlier in the book as Jesus Christ, right? So God's goal for every one of us is to be made more and more like Jesus. That's God's goal for everybody. You mean, doesn't matter who you are, that's God's goal for everybody that comes to Christ, for them to be made more like him. Now, he gets through all that, and then he pops in verse 11. Here as in the church, okay, in the family of God, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Somebody once said that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Okay? We all come to the cross because we need a solution for sin. If we don't have that, we're separated from God for all eternity. But at the cross, we see a payment for our sin and full forgiveness. And so everybody's in the same boat. Christ is all and in all. Now, our country has a history of racial prejudice that we're still dealing with, right? I mean, we see that in the news, day in and day out. The first century Roman Empire was no different. Racial prejudice has been around forever because of the sinfulness of man. And so what you need to realize when you read a verse like that is that this was like an explosion into the way culture was in the first century in the Roman Empire. Okay? When Paul said, Jesus is in all of you, no matter who you are, he put everybody in the same boat. He put everybody in the same classification. And what that verse that you just read represents is all kinds of barriers. There were social barriers. There were racial barriers. There were class barriers. Everything that we still have today in the world where some people look down on other people. They had it out the wazoo. And Paul comes along and he says, it's irrelevant. It's totally irrelevant who you are, what your background is, where you stand socially. It's totally irrelevant. Because Jesus Christ is in everybody equally. Now, the first one he mentions is Jew and Gentile, right? The Greek and the Jew. Jewish people, if they could, when they were traveling, walked around Gentile areas. If they could not walk around Gentile areas, what they would do after they left the Gentile area and got back to a Jewish geographical area is they would brush the dirt off of their clothes so that Gentile dirt would not get mixed with Jewish dirt. I know that sounds silly, but that's the extent they went to. A Jewish person would not go to the house of a Gentile because of the way the Gentiles cooked their food. They would not use Gentile utensils. They would not use Gentile pots. And therefore, Jesus comes along and says, the gospel makes everybody equal, and you're all going to be in the same group, in the same church, and you're going to sit next to each other. And when communion comes around, you're going to eat next to each other. Can you imagine how that impacted that mentality? And the Gentiles, on their part, they were no better than the Jewish people. The Gentiles just thought the Jewish people were a bunch of self-righteous weirdos. They didn't want to hang around with them either. And the gospel comes along and says, you're one. In Jesus, you're one. And then there were cultural barriers. That's where you get the barbarians. What is it? Barbarians and Scythian. Now, here's what you need to understand. The Greeks, the cultured Greek population of the empire, thought of barbarians as anybody who had not adopted Greek culture. Okay? They couldn't speak the language. They did not adopt Greek manners. Because see, the Romans conquered the empire, but the Greeks had the culture. All right? So, barbarians and Scythians. You know who the Scythians were? They were like the worst of the barbarians. So they were both barbarians in the eyes of the cultured Greek people, but the Scythians were like the worst of the worst. It's kind of like comparing Al-Qaeda with ISIS. You know, Al-Qaeda is not quite as cruel as ISIS, at least in our estimation, right? From the way we view things. And so the Scythians were like the joke of the empire. When they really wanted, if you really wanted to say something bad about a person, you call them a Scythian. They did not bathe much at all. They were the most uncultured of the barbarians, and so they became the butt of comedy in the empire. It's the worst thing you could be. The Jewish historian Josephus says that the Scythians delighted in murdering people and are little better than wild beasts. That was kind of the mindset about the Scythians. And so, you know, Jesus comes along and he says, anybody who comes to me, you're all one. And it's like, you mean I got to go to church with a Scythian? Maybe we could have their own Scythian sitting section over there and kind of isolate them from the rest of us. No, you're all one. Even if you were born on Gap Creek, you're all one. And so, can you imagine this? And then there's a slave and free thing. And so, you might come to church on Sunday in the first century, and the slave, because he has the gift of preaching or teaching, he's teaching the masters. How would that be? You see how revolutionary this was? There's a story that has come to us from the city of Carthage in 202 AD. This was a time when Christians were really being persecuted all over the Roman Empire. And it tells of a very wealthy Roman matron, Perpetua. She was a, you know, high-class Roman woman who was martyred holding the hands of her slave, Felicitas. Both women faced a common death for their common love of Jesus. And they were martyred together, master and slave, equally. So, in a world that was so divided, just like ours is today. Christianity comes along and he says, look, guys, there's nobody that's any better than anybody else. Everybody's equal because everybody's equally sinful and everybody equally needs Jesus. And Jesus has come to live equally in each and every person who came to them. Jesus Christ is all and in all. It doesn't matter where you're born. So he indwells all believers, and that just erases the differences of race or religion or culture, country of origin, and anything else. Well, I've spent a good long time on that, but I really feel like that needs to be heard. Really needs to be heard today. Tim, I thought of Tim. Tim last week telling me that he went to church with a relative, and somebody got there before this relative, and they stole this relative's seat, and this relative of his always sat in that seat, and so she just came over here, and she gave him the look, you know. Gave him the serious look. And then when they didn't move, she asked them to leave. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a Christian? Now, granted, she's like 150. How 101. 101 years old, so you got to make allowances, right? But still, can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? It all goes back to somehow I think I'm better than you, right? Somehow I think I'm better than you. And Jesus, you know, Paul writing in behalf of under the inspiration of God, says that is not allowed in the church of God. That's not allowed. Everybody is equal. And so we rejoice when we see among us people from other countries. I'll tell you one more story about this. I have been around, as a Cuban, I have been around a lot of Hispanic people, and I have traveled some in other countries, and I have met Hispanic people from Central and South America. Without exception, every person that I have met thinks that their country is better than all the other Hispanic countries. It is just hilarious. It is just hilarious. I had a friend up in Wisconsin who was Puerto Rican, and he knew this, and so we would kid with each other. I would tell him, you know, in Cuba we used you Puerto Ricans to cut our sugar cane. Which was the lowest job, you know, it was the lowest job you could get in Cuba. And there were, you know, usually there were workers from other countries that were imported to cut the sugar cane by hand. And back in those days. And we would go back and forth like that because everybody thought they were better than anybody else. It's just, you know, if it wasn't so sad, it'd be funny. Because it's so ridiculous. I mean, we're all speaking Spanish, right? And we were all colonized by Spain and terrorized by Spain and killed off by Spain. Except for the Brazilians. They got terrorized by Portugal. But everybody else. You know, we're in the same boat, brothers and sisters in Christ. Christ is all and in all. Okay, so here's the put on, and I'll just touch on it briefly, and we'll come back to this next week. You've taken all this stuff off. You're all the same in Christ, And then here's the new wardrobe. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. By the way, we sang about those three things right off the bat in verse 12. We're chosen, we're holy, and we're loved by God. That's who we are. Along with the verse that, Oh, there you go. Along with the verse that she read out of 1 Peter. You're a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a people who belong to God. Okay, that's our identity. That's who we are, and we'll talk more about that. And then here's what we're putting on. Here's the clothes. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Okay, you know what he's describing? He's just describing the character of Jesus Christ. That's the goal for every one of us, to become more and more and more like Jesus. Now, let me say just one very important thing, and I'll wind this up, because we'll get into it more specifically next week. You know what my favorite definition of frustration is? Don't you hate frustration? You hate it when you're frustrated over something. My favorite definition of frustration, trying to live the Christian life on your own. Trying to live the Christian life on your own. When we talk about killing sin, putting off sin, you try to do that on your own, and you're just going to be frustrated because you're going to be unsuccessful. You try to add these things that I just read to you, the compassion, the kindness, the love, and all that. You try to add that to your life, just kind of work it up somehow, and you're going to be frustrated. Those things flow out of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. Jesus Christ is living inside you in the Holy Spirit. And so whatever we do in the Christian life, whether we're trying to get rid of sin in our life or add some character qualities that are so wonderful and beautiful to our lives, we're not on our own. We're not on our own. You try to gut it out on your own, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. God himself came to live inside of us. And he says, trust me, rely upon me, depend upon me. Walk in the Spirit, the Bible says, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? A dependent walk that gets up in the morning. And you know, there's a difference between saying, you know, waking up in the morning and saying, okay, I'm going to be the most loving person in the world today. You know, first person that comes across my path, I'm going to just be just really loving to them. There's a difference between that and saying, Lord, I'm so weak. Would you help me to love the way you love people? Would you bear as I depend on you, Lord, would you give me wisdom in loving people the way you love people? Not a wishy-washy love, but a powerful, meaningful, purposeful love. See, there's a difference. There's a totally different mindset. One is God-dependent. The other one is self-dependent. And I have probably not made that clear enough as we've gone along, because there's a lot of imperatives here. There's a lot of commands. You know, Paul comes along and says, kill sin. You got to kill sin in your life. And there's a partnership in that. That I am not on my own in killing sin in my life. But Jesus Christ has come to live inside of me to help me to kill sin in my life. See? And it's the epitome of idiocy, from which we get idiot, to try it on my own. Okay? So I wanted to make that clear, and before we move on to the next section, would you pray with me? Father, thank you. Thank you for giving us eternal life as a free gift through the offering of your Son for all of our sin. Thank you for bringing him back from the dead. Thank you for giving us a faith that gives us hope for the future, that gives us a genuine love for one another and for people outside of the faith. Thank you for bringing so many people from so many different nations here today. I pray they have sensed your love as they have been among us. I pray that you give us great wisdom in knowing how to love people who are different than us. Lord, I think about the lady who was arrested for being high with a 2-year-old in her car this week. I think about how I have looked at people like that before without compassion. And I pray that that you give me love and compassion and kindness and all those other things that we read about. For people, no matter who they are, no matter what they're doing or not doing, help us see the world through your eyes as people who need Jesus. In whose name we pray. Amen.